And this morning, if you look at the order of worship there, the title that I've given to the talk, this sermon, is Our Stuff. So I want to talk about our stuff today. But before we do that, let's pray together. Our Father, we are glad to be the children that sit at your feet and wear the ring and the robe of your only eternal Son, indwelt by your Spirit, and in full anticipation of the inheritance that we are and will receive. And so, help us to hear you and to know you and to love you this morning. And we ask that in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. When I was in college, there was a gentleman in the church that I was going to, and he invited the college and career class to come over to his house after church one Sunday. And so we got the directions. This was pre-GPS, so you had to write it down and try and find it. We found the house, and house is too small of a word for this home. I mean, it was massive. You might even call it a mansion. Probably the closest thing I've ever been to in going into what you might call a mansion. Huge home. Beautifully decorated. Probably 20 different college students coming in there. And we're sitting down and looking at all this nice stuff. And I was judging the guy. I was looking at his stuff, and I was thinking, this man is worldly. Not to mention the fact that the irony is I'm sitting there like invited to his house, about to eat his food, but I'm judging him. And throughout the course of the night, through different conversations, we found a little bit more about what he did as a job. Now, I can't remember exactly what it was, but the gist of it was he was kind of like an independent product development consultant, and he just worked with companies and helped them see their product's image, how to improve it, how to sell it better, how to sell it back to their own people so the employees would be excited about the products they were working on. And in fact, in just not long before we were there in that house, he had had executives from BMW in his home. And he just regularly worked with executives from Fortune 500 companies. He'd just bring them over to his house and meet with them and talk with them. And it dawned on me, at some point I thought, he can't have a shabby home to do his job. He has to have a nice home. He has to entertain people that make the economics of our country and maybe even the world sometimes move. And so it wasn't that he was worldly, he was actually being faithful to what God had given him to do. But Christians have always struggled with this. We've always struggled, like we're some of the worst. We look at people's stuff and we condemn. In the early church, there was a group of Christians. They were called ascetics. And what they did is they would leave their home. Sometimes they would abandon their families, and they would get rid of all their stuff, and then they would go to the desert naked or near naked and starve themselves because they were trying to not be worldly and just be pious. So Christians have always had this guilt about stuff. And the book of Proverbs does warn us about greed. The book of Proverbs does caution us about loving money. But it also emphasizes the fact that the stuff that the Lord has given offers great opportunities. That it opens doors to love others and to be thankful to the Lord for worship and in worship. And I want to talk about that for just a few minutes this morning. The opportunities that stuff gives to love others and the opportunities that we have to thank God. Let's think about those two things. And I want to start with Proverbs 13, 22. You can see it printed there in the order. It says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the sinner's wealth is laid up for the righteous." Now, okay, opportunities to love others. Who's included in the others? Well, one of the others in the book of Proverbs is our own children. And that's what this verse says. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. And the word inheritance here is not a Hebrew word that just means a lot of wealth. That's not necessarily what it's pointing to. It's actually a Hebrew word that means capacity, ability, skills. In other words, put it this way, part of the inheritance that we leave our children is not necessarily money and things, but it's the skills and the abilities that they learn in using those things. Let me just give you an example. Pets. A lot of parents buy pets for their kids. Why do we do that? Well, maybe there's a lot of reasons why, but one of the reasons why is parents go, you know what? We really want to teach our kids the value of life. We want to teach them the value of just responsibility and caring for things. And so they go and they get a pet, and it comes with bowls and cages and all kinds of things. And here, a parent can look at that stuff and go, where'd all this junk come from? Look at all this stuff around here. And here's the thing, right? That stuff is what you're using to give, quote unquote, inheritance to your kids. And you can think of things like sporting equipment, board games. I mean, this is a building a life in which you're developing skills and abilities in your kids. So, children, that dog bowl, that's your inheritance right there. You're going to get that. Here it comes. No, but our stuff gives us opportunities to love our children. Here's a second one. Look at Proverbs 3:28. "Do not say to your neighbor, 'Go and come again. Tomorrow I will give it,' when you have it with you." Opportunities to love our neighbors. You notice this is a very honest snapshot of neighborly life. Someone comes over or they send the kid over. Ding dong, mom needs a cup of sugar. She needs some eggs, whatever it is. Or can I borrow your machete? They're asking for something. I mean, not the kids asking for the machete. Maybe it's the dad is coming over asking for the machete. But can I borrow that? And the proverb says, I mean, look at it. If you have it, let them borrow it. I mean, that's what the proverb says. Don't say, "Oh, come again tomorrow. It's just too much trouble to look for it right now." He says, when you have it with you, give it. One commentator is a Reformed Anglican minister from a long time ago. He said this to his people, "Let us then seize the present, which may be the only opportunity." Stuff, believe it or not, affords many opportunities for loving our neighbors. Proverbs 22:9. It also affords us the opportunity to love the poor. "Whoever has a bountiful eye will be blessed, for he shares his bread with the poor." I love this phrase, a bountiful eye. And it's a phrase that there was no one with a more bountiful eye than Jesus. If you remember, Jesus would walk through crowds, and this is fascinating when you read the Gospels. He would be surrounded by people, and there would be one beggar off to the side, and he would see the beggar in the midst of the crowd. He would see the lame man off to the side, and he would leave the crowd and go and say, "What can I do for you?" It's remarkable. That's what this phrase, a bountiful eye, refers to. It refers to the ability to see someone who is in need, and then it says, he shares his bread with the poor. So it's not just, I see your need, not even that I feel your need, but I've moved to share my own bread with you. It does not just bread, but anything. One pastor, you probably know this name, John Piper, he talks in a sermon where he just talks about how he personally was struggling with, I guess on his way to work, he would walk to work. He lives in Minneapolis. And he says there would be folks that would meet on the side of the road and they would be asking him for stuff. And he just kind of said, you know, God, he would get kind of frustrated because he thought, you're just going to take my stuff and you're just trying to, you might be deceiving me. I don't know what you're going to do with this. And he says he came to a point where he realized, man, that's just not my concern. And then he gives this little few sentences where he says, this is what I did. He said, so now I go to the bank and I get 50 ones. Put them in a drawer. I carry 6 a day and I give them all away. I give enough of them away that I can look into their eyes and say, look, if I give you these 3 or 5 $1 bills, can I have 3 minutes of your time? They always give me 3 minutes. And I say, tell me your story. Just tell me your story. That's all I want to know. I want to know your story. That is beautiful. I mean, talk about sharing your bread. It wasn't just, here's some money. It was, how did you get here? What is your story? Would you tell that to me? But here's the thing, right? It takes something to give to do that. And so if I could issue some encouraging statements to us here. If you're like me, we can condemn ourselves for stuff. But what about this? Rather than guilt, let us give. Rather than shame, let us share. And rather than despising, let us go forth freely to disperse. Having stuff gives us great opportunities to love others. It also gives us opportunities to thank God. Take a look at Proverbs 10:22. It says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. And then look at Proverbs 15:16 and 17. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble with it. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. Opportunities to thank God. That's the one in Proverbs 15 is a beautiful picture of these two tables. You go into one home and there's a table and there's the family sitting there eating. You go into another home and there's a table and there's a family there eating. And the first table is, there's not a whole lot there. In fact, it's a dinner of herbs. Just some parsley or something. It's a very simple dinner. It's a salad. Very simple. But what the proverb says is they have a little, but with the fear of the Lord, that is great. A simple dinner of herbs, but love around that table, that's better than having much and having hatred around the table. And here's the point. It may be that you think, man, God is just, he's just not allotted to me a whole lot in this life. He's just not giving me the fattened calf with great treasure. That's just not my story. And that's entirely up to the king to how he partitions the land in his kingdom. Some he gives rich land and some he gives not so rich land. But if you have a small amount of salad, but there is love and contentment around the table, that is something to be thankful for. Because that's something money can't buy. I had a professor who said it like this. He says, we collect the toys, but only God dispenses the batteries. And that's brilliant. He said, you can have a whole lot of toys, and sometimes I feel like this in our house. We have these toys, we don't have any batteries. And it's just clutter there, right? But if you've got one toy with a battery, that toy's awesome because it actually works. So, if God has given a little, but he gives great contentment and joy in it, man, that is worth everything. And if he's given that to you, if he's given you contentment and joy, we can be thankful for that. In Proverbs 10:22, he talks about having a lot. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Like I said a minute ago, sometimes the Lord, it's entirely up to him if he sets somebody up to have a pathway towards being successful and having stuff. It's entirely up to him. The blessing of the Lord makes rich, but here's the part I want to think on for just a minute. And he adds no sorrow with it. In other words, the Lord doesn't bless and then condemn. He calls to love and to serve, but he doesn't say, I've been generous to you, and now I condemn you for the generosity I've shown to you. He gives no sorrow with it. In fact, isn't this the gospel? If we get right down to it, the gospel is that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, here's what we do. Here's what we all do. We all either condemn ourselves or condemn others based on stuff. Or we're very confident about ourselves, we're very confident in others based on stuff. And what this verse says is the only way to stand before God is to know that I'm not condemned based on whether I have much or have little. I am justified only because of Jesus Christ. That my standing and my acceptance before God does not come with condemnation because of Jesus Christ. And what that actually does for us, in fact, I mean, that as soon as we can say, I'm not going to judge you, I'm not going to judge myself, I'm not going to condemn based on stuff and status. What I'm going to do is rejoice in Jesus Christ. If we can get to that point, no, I am not condemned, it's then that we're actually free to open our hands. Because so long as I think I have to have this, and I clench my hands around this, I have to have this, or I clench my hands and saying, I can't believe you have that, as long as my hands are clenched, they can never be open. And that's why it says, the blessing of the Lord makes rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. He doesn't condemn. He's not condemning his people whether he gives much or whether he gives little. And so we are free to share in contentment and without fear. Let me end with this. Two things. A quote from The Little Mermaid, and then a quote from Jesus, which is much more authoritative. So we'll end on that one. But there is a kind of holy discontent that Christians have. Here's what I mean. If you know the story of The Little Mermaid, it's about a mermaid, and she, of course, lives in the water, and she keeps finding these things on the ocean floor that have fallen down from this land above that she's never been to. And then she sings this song, and this is some of the pieces of it. She says, look at this stuff. Isn't it neat? Wouldn't you think my collection's complete? I've got gadgets and gizmos aplenty. I've got who's-its and what's-it galore. You want thingamabobs? I got 20. But who cares? No big deal. I want more. I want to be where the people are. I want to see. I want to see them dancing, walking around on those, what do you call them? Oh, feet. Flipping your fins, you don't get too far. Legs are required for jumping, dancing, strolling along down a, what's that word again? Street. Up where they walk, up where they run, up where they stay all day in the sun, wandering free. I wish I could be a part of that world. she has these things, and she says, isn't this stuff so neat? But these blessings that I have, I want to meet the one who made them. I want to go to the land where they came from. I want to meet the one that has dropped these down. Up where they walk, up where they run, up where they stay all day in the sun, wandering free. Wish I could be part of that world. And Christians, we get, God is blessed. And we get to say, thank you, Lord, open my hands. I share a thank you, Lord, for all you've given. I want to be generous and give it all away as much as I can. But you know what I really want? I want to meet the one who's blessed me. And so Jesus says this. Jesus, on the night that he's going to the cross, he's on his way to suffering for us, and he says to his people, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. We don't just have to hope about being in the Father's house one day. Jesus said, I will come again, and you will be a part of my world. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do long for the day that we meet you in your wisdom and in your beauty that has filled this earth like no other planet, and that you've blessed your people. We thank you. But Lord, there's no blessing greater than being with you in the land that is fairer than day. And so feed us on this bread and this juice as we come to your son's table now. Feed us on him. And we ask that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.